Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m.
rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.
Drama on One is offered as a podcast at rte.ie/drama on one and, of course, here on RTE Radio 1 on Sunday nights. Tonight on Drama on One, Kicking All the Boxes, written and performed by Liz Fitzgibbon. We follow Neisha Murphy, a one-time under-15 European champion kickboxer. Neisha is 30 today, and as the action plays out, we follow Neisha in her imaginings of what was, what is, and what could be. Bringing the listener through a sonic journey of what-ifs, Kicking All the Boxes examines choices and their possible consequences. Listeners are advised that the play contains adult themes and language some may find offensive.
The under-16 European kickboxing champion is Neisha Murphy!
Right.
Who's that at the front door? Some old cousin, they're going to be here for the next half an hour. Talking shit no one wants to hear about. The sound is coming through the bedroom floor. I'm going to look for a long-wave radio station. Secretly find some interference in our faraway galaxy. Hopefully drive them out. The gobshite in the house. Gobshite in the house, yeah. Gobshite in the house. Oh, yeah.
Here she is now. The champ.
Welcome home, love.
The men will all be petrified, you know, Neisha.
Granny's fine. Don't be worrying about her.
European champ at 15. You'll be world champ by 20.
Gobshite in the house, 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 gobshite in the house. Who's at the front door? Someone's going to be here for the next half an hour.
Imagine who you'll be at 30.
My name is Neisha Murphy, and I'm 30 today. Creeping on people. I love it. I'm kind of addicted. Not in that way. Not like a peeping Tom kind of creep of the week that'd be hiding in the bushes outside your gaff. No, I'm talking about the innocent, accidental way. You know, like when you're on a bus and you catch a split second view of someone's life through their window. You construct what you think their life might be from the few seconds you see. Are they in love? What do they work at? Have they ever been to Coppers? You know, the big questions in life. Or like, you know, when you pass two people on the street and you hear a snippet of their conversation. You know, like, yeah, she kicked a bleeding head off him, headbutted him and all. To be fair, he had it coming to him, the dope. Or do you ever look at someone and think, I wonder if they have some big secret that no one knows? Like maybe they killed someone. I do. I mean, they could have, and you would never know. I could have killed someone and you'd never know. I mean, I haven't. But how would you know? It's too easy to creep on people. Like, this morning, I woke up on my 30th birthday and spent hours looking at someone else's life. It's weird, because when I was younger, I hated getting my photo taken. Even when I won a big fight, I didn't want to be in the photos after. Now I'm obsessed with photos. And not just other people's, my own too. The selfie is sacred. Bathroom selfie, dressing room selfie, workout selfie. I got 99 problems, but a perfected selfie ain't one. I think we all have a secret creep in us. But that's the beauty of it. No one needs to know. Well, you put yourself out there for the world to see, so we are entitled to creep to our little heart's content. There's no getting away from it, no matter how hard you try. Take out your phone and there you go. Creep away. Swipe left. Swipe right. Scroll up. Scroll down. Like. 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 Lose hours of your day looking at a perfect life. Looks perfect, so it's got to be perfect. Right? Love and pain. Is there a difference? My name is Neisha Murphy, and I'm 30 today. Both are pure feelings.
Both are raw. Both fuck you up. Both let you know you're alive. I love to pain and I pain to love. I felt both an excess amount. I mean, I love excess in general. In any form I can get it. Solid, gas, liquid. My chemistry teacher would be so proud. Which do I prefer? If I told you, I'd have to kill you. Nah. I'm only messing with you. I couldn't tell you, to be honest. No pain, no gain, all that jazz. See, no jazz. That I wouldn't be a fan of. Like, I love most types of music, even the Pavarotti-style shit, but jazz I wouldn't be into. Free speech, free love. Not free jazz. Don't ask me why, like, it's grand. I wouldn't buzz off it, you know what I mean? Best way to listen to music is blasting through badass speakers. Do you know when it's so loud, you can feel it vibrating in your chest? Love that. I had a class set up. Fat ass speakers and a world class tune selection. Trained to some serious tunes. Box to the beat. Not beatboxing now, that's so class. I'd love to be able to do that. No, but you know what I mean? Like, punch, jab, kick, repeat. Fuck. Just talking about it makes me miss it. I was class though. You should have seen me. Mightn't think it's a look at me now, but I had some serious skills. I was a fast fucker as well. You wouldn't see it coming, just blitz the shit out of you. I lived to fight. Like, I obviously don't have a sweet sound system in this situation. There's no plugs in the tent. Jesus, that feeling. Adrenaline. It's another highly addictive chemical. Sad. That's what I'd say. I'm craving some sad. S-A-D. S-A-D. You crave the sad too. Every human does. It's part of our genetic makeup. It's in the motherfucking genes, man. You can't hide from it. It's part of our code. The caveman, the hunt, the survival, the race to the top, the killer be killed, the move, bitch, get out the way. That's fucking sad. You have zero clue what I'm on about. S-A-D? Oh, come on, sunshine. Thought you were supposed to be the sharp tool in the box. Serotonin. Adrenaline. Dopamine. Serotonin. Adrenaline. Dopamine. Boom! That shit is where it's at. Oh, I'm literally buzzing after talking about that. I nearly wouldn't need another fix. Nearly. I almost forgot about that. Do you want some yourself? It's the good stuff. I only like the quality. I have high standards. You're saying to yourself, how can you have standards? You live in a tent. But I do like. Do you know lots of people living in mansions live like pigs? I might not have much, just this tent and a few shitty possessions. Well, what seem to you like a few shitty possessions? But they're not shitty. They're my world. Mio mundo.
Move, bitch, get out the way. Get out the way, bitch, get out the way. Move. Harper, stop pulling at the lady's keys. So sorry, he's a little scamp.
It's cool. It happens a lot. It looks like a toy, to be fair.
Do I know you?
Not sure. Do you?
You look so familiar, I swear.
Oh my God, I have it.
Irish College?
Ring.
You're...
Nisha.
Nisha! Nisha...
Murphy?
Murphy! It's Ali. Ali West.
Hey, long time no see.
I know, right?
So, is this your little man?
Yup.
This is my little prince.
Faker, say hi to my friend Nisha.
Stop it, Pat. It's fine.
What's that thing called again that all your keys are attached to? It's like a caribou or a Caribbean or something.
It's a carabiner.
Yeah, that's it for climbing, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that's what it's designed for, but it's handy for my keys. They're all house keys, so I don't want to lose them.
God, I thought I was doing well with two houses.
Oh no, they're not my houses. I need them for my job.
Oh right, are you like a cleaner or something?
No, I'm a professional dog walker and cat sitter.
Oh my God, like, I didn't even realise that was like a thing. And like, did you always want to be a dog walker and
cat sitter?
Yeah, sorry, a cat sitter.
No, I kind of just fell into it. I was going to go down the sports route, but that didn't really work out.
Weren't you like a champion at like judo or taekwondo or karate or something?
Kickboxing.
Oh my God, yeah, I remember.
So, I better shoot off, but it was so good to see you, Nisha.
Yeah, you too, Ali. Nice to meet you, Fikra.
Let's do lunch or something. I'll find you on Facebook. Oh, I'm not on Facebook.
Okay, right. Get out the way.
Get out the way, bitch. Get out the way.
It's warm in this cab.
Sorry. Would you mind speeding things up? I'm in a bit of a rush.
Jesus wept. I'd be faster if I got out and pushed the car.
It's just, I have a very important meeting I need to get to.
Technically not true. It's an anger management session. Court's orders.
Not a bother. I'll get you there in no time, hey?
You will, yeah. You going slower than a snail on Xanax. The people outside the cab are actually doing laps on us at this stage.
I would have you there a lot faster, but the city's been a nightmare with the Lewis works. I don't like the Lewis anyway. Looks like a big silver worm sliding along the road.
It is really warm in this cab. I'm sweating. My mind wanders. I'm in the ring with this tool bag of a taxi driver. Except instead of gloves, he's still got the steering wheel in his hand. Total unfair advantage. But it doesn't matter to me. My Jedi Knight ninja spidey senses are in overdrive. There's a flash of lightning and a crack of thunder. I'm giving it the full Van Damme treatment. Flying, but in a weird Matrix-style 360-degree slow-motion kind of a thing. My foot connects with his head, and boom, he goes down. The crowd goes wild. Bam!
Oh, fuck. Well, I guess we know your brakes work anyway, don't we? All right, let's go. We're going to work on that combination from yesterday. Up now. Okay, and I want to add in a roundhouse at the beginning and finish with a spinning hook. So altogether, it should look like this. Jab, cross. Jab, cross, slip right. Back with the cross. Bob, cross again. Left hook, uppercut. Pivot left hook. All right, your turn. Jack, come on, you can't be missing the pads. Do not give me that look. I didn't give you a look. I know you're tired, but the open is only a week away, so you need to put in the extra effort. All right? Yeah, grand. Last time, I promise. Come on. Can I go play football with the lads? Okay, but I'm going out with the girls and I'm dropping you off at the babysitter 7, so you need to be showered, packed, ready to go. All right? Roundhouse. Pivot left. Jab, jab. Football training starts back next week. Matches will be on Saturdays this year, so I might not be able to fight. We'll talk about it later. Again, go. Jab, jab, cross. What time are you picking me up tomorrow? Not sure. Afternoon, probably. Come on. Can we get a takeaway? We'll see. Here. What does it feel like to be 30? Totally different to how I felt yesterday when I was 29. It's proper ancient-like. Jesus. Thanks, Jack. See you later. Mam. Happy birthday.
Love's a funny one, though, isn't it? It's what every human craves. It's the biggest, baddest drug of all. All you need is love. La, 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 la. But what if when you get it, it's not the gooey Scooby-Doo kind? Not the butterflies of excitement, not the roses and the chocolates and champagne, more insane in the membrane. What if the love is the kind built around fear? Dear, oh dear, oh dear. I never thought I'd be afraid of someone I love. Terror, passion, pain, all jumbled into one toxic concoction. I have, though. I was so in love with him, but equally terrified of him at the same time. That's mental. Crazy in love. Right, B? My nan used to say, "You've always been attracted to pain, Nisha love, like a moth to an open flame." So where lies the blame? Gimme an L. Gimme an O. Gimme a V. Gimme an E. Oh, fucking hell, it's powerful stuff. A few times, I honestly thought, he could kill me right now and there'd be nothing I could do about it. If I pushed him hard enough, I reckon he'd do it. Although, he never laid a hand on me. Like, I must give him that much. Took it out on things around me instead to save my face, which was sound of him. He never hit me once, but I was terrified of him. All that power, and he never had to lay a hand on me. I think that makes me the more fucked up one. I'm damaged goods, covered in invisible scars. He was so mad once. I saw him punch a streetlight full force, like, you know, one of those massive metal yokes you'd see on the main road. He gave it some thump. Oh, the thing swayed from side to side, vibrated so hard it started to hum. He had a devastating punch, to be fair. Beautiful technique.
She's a husband, John said the scone, says you ring the friend up to see what she put her up, cause if he gets her, treat her like an old bandana, like a rainbow trout face, like a bruised banana. 087-3456-3210. No, no ring, don't ring the line, 9-5-7-7-4-0. What there's no where the gun should be a bruised banana.
When the anger builds, what do you do, Nisha?
I try to control it.
That is what she, the bullshitter therapist, says. No shit. But that's easier said than done. A lifetime full of anger is a constant nuclear reactor ready to blow.
How do you feel?
She says.
I feel like kicking him in the head, is what I would like to say. Instead, I say, I feel intense anger that I fear I can't control.
Have you tried practicing the meditation I've showed you, Nisha?
Yes, I have. And it does sweet fuck all but make me feel more agitated. If I had a choice, I wouldn't be here because these sessions piss me off. Court's orders. Be a good girl. Don't piss them off. Yes, sir. No, sir. I promise not to kick and punch, sir. Excessive, the judge said. Not excessive enough, if you ask me. I mean, to say they had it coming would be a monumental understatement. Correct. I was only trained to fight in a ring. But when you're pushed to a place of no return, your instincts kick in. Kick! 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 They were pure scum. They preyed on those weaker than them. My nan's an angel. A saint, really. Do anything for anyone. That TV was only new. She bought it for the family, proud as punch. Punch, punch, punch. Those little shits could have taken it and let her be. But they didn't. She should have stayed in bed. But she didn't. I could have walked away, but I... They had the nerve to come into her room while she was sleeping. Took all her jewellery, even her wedding ring. She was so thin she couldn't wear it anymore.
Nisha? Is that you, pet?
Go back to sleep, missus, if you know what's good for you. So that's what she pretended to do. But when she heard them downstairs, taking her new pride and joy, she...
Ah, lads, please don't take that. It's a Christmas present for my grandkids. Take whatever else you like, but not that, please.
Fuck you, y'all bag. We'll take whatever we want and there's fuck all you can do about it. And with those words, he gave the first blow. A cracked eye socket. The blood began to flow. She stumbled forward and back, and then she found the floor. A rib cracked, a wrist smashed, left broken and twisted on the floor. So do you want to ask me again if I feel remorse for what I've done? I think you know the answer to that one. Those little shits grow into bigger shits, as only nature could have intended. Lucky for me, they crossed my path again. They should have crossed the street. Instead, they crossed me and my family. Crisscross, jab cross, crisscross, hook, uppercut. X marks the spot, spinning hook.
Transported back to first year in Kevin O'Regan. Jesus, I can't believe they still make that stuff. We're having the serious boogie, even if our feet are moving in slow motion because the floor is so sticky. But these tunes are on another level. Happy birthday. Sorry? Happy birthday. Who are you and how do you know it's my birthday? Psychic, mate. I just know. In the big badge you're wearing that says birthday girl. Forgot about that. My friends made me wear it. So how's your night going, birthday girl? Not too bad, thanks. Buy you a drink? Sorry? Can I buy you a drink? Yeah, sure, thanks. What's your name? Nisha. Now what now? Nisha. Spell it. N-A-O-I-S-E. I think I'll just stick to birthday girl. I'm Bruce. Bruce. Oh shit, you're serious. Nice to meet you, Bruce. Nice to meet you, birthday girl. Jager bomb and tequila slammer.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Morning. Did we...
That good, aye?
No, sorry. I mean, not no, just no. I didn't mean I don't remember, because I do. It's just my head's a little fuzzy.
No worries. It's all good, dude.
Okay. Dude.
Would you like some breakfast? Coffee? Salt pudding?
No, I'm good. Thanks. I think the only thing that would sort me out is jumping into the sea.
Let's do it.
You serious?
Yeah. It'll be fully sick.
What? You feel sick?
Nah, it'll be sick.
Sure, it'll be totally sick. Well, I'll have to swing by my place and pick up some stuff, if that's okay.
Yeah, no worries. So do you have, like, heaps of kids and dogs in your place then?
No, I look after them in their own homes.
I don't really like cats.
To be honest, I wasn't a big cat lover growing up, but I ended up looking after my nans when she went into hospital for a few months for, So I got good with them, but my son's kind of allergic, so we can't have them in the house.
Oh, right, yeah. I think I remember you talking about a kid last night. How old is he?
He's 12.
Holy shit. I thought you said you were 30.
I am.
But how could you have a 12-year-old?
Do you need a diagram?
Nah, sorry. I mean, it's just heavy. For you, obviously.
No, it's not. It's all good. He's a little hero.
Cool. What's his name?
Jack.
Jack. Sweet name. And the father, is he like still around or whatever?
No, never was.
Shit. Well, good on you. Right, are we going to do this?
Yeah, fuck it. Why not? You only live once.
I was standing at the Museum Lewis stop after training. The next one is due in 3 minutes. Loving life as you do after a good session, all that serotonin rushing through you, buzzing with yourself. I had my phone in my hand, picking out the tunes to suit my good mood. I look up, and this kid is cycling towards me on the footpath. Well, I say kid, but he's like 15. For some reason, I take in exactly what he's wearing and what his bike looks like. Black shorts, black t-shirt, blue jacket, black bike, and a plastic bag over the saddle. Why did I do that? I don't know. Back to my phone, back in my happy zone. 2 minutes until Lewis is due. I look up, and the same kid is cycling towards me, but in the same direction he came from before. My brain quickly computes this means he's done a loop and is circling around the same way. Black shorts, black t-shirt, blue jacket, black bike, and a plastic bag over the saddle. As he passes me, we look directly into each other's faces. His face is hard. I've seen this kind of face before. The little fucker who kicked my nan on the floor. My fists clench. My heart starts to pump. He cycles past me. I want to scream and shout, but I'm frozen to the spot. In the distance, I see a man walk in the opposite direction. I can see he's on his phone. He's walking at a slow, steady pace. The kid on the bike passes him on the inside. And as he does this strange thing where he angles out one of his knees. He cycles slightly past the man, crosses in front of him and circles back. I think he's coming for me. Lewis Dew. He stops dead on the tracks, looks left and right, decision made. Takes off again in the direction of the man. He goes to pass him on the inside. His knee does this strange movement, which I now realise is for better balance. Grab! With such skill and grace, he has taken that man's phone and continues cycling on without changing speed and never once looking back. Fuck! Why the fuck didn't I do something? I should have run after the man, asked him if he needed help. But my Lewis arrived, so I got on. That kid's face, imprinted on my brain. I play out the scenario over and over in my head. And then I imagine it happening to me. I turn around, just as he reaches me and tries to grab my phone. I grab his hand with my left. My right hand delivers a fierce hook to his head, sends him and his bike flying into the wall. Do you recognise my face? I don't think you do. I thought robbing little old ladies was more your style. Not so hard when someone fights back.
I'd follow with a kick just to seal the deal. It wasn't the kid. Sure, how could it be? That was 15 years ago and miles away. What did I do? I did nothing. Proud of me.
Hoping for penance, you see. You're not alright, you're not a scumbag. No need to feel that you are a torag. You're not a scumbag.
Yeah.
You're not a scumbag. No need to feel that you are a torag.
Tears of joy. Tears of fear. Tears of pain. Tears from laughing. Salty droplets rolling down your face, hugging your nose, sliding over your lips, falling off your chin on the way to their final destination. A tissue. Your sleeve. That shoulder you lean on. He was never that shoulder. I wasn't allowed to cry in front of him. If I cried, I'd have to leave the room. If I felt it coming on, "Don't do it," he'd say. I should hate him, but I don't. He's got hate in his bones. Nothing consumes more energy than hate. It's a hungry hippo, and it will eat you up and spit you out. Oh, spitting's one nasty habit, isn't it? Jesus, if there's one thing my nanny won't stand for, it's spitting. She has the patience of a saint. Not when it comes to spitting. Now there's someone who should have hate in her bones. If ever there was anyone who deserved a free hate pass, it's her. Even after what they did to her, she didn't hate them. I'll never forget that day in court. They swaggered in like hard men. Did you know one of their mams was actually wearing some of my nan's jewellery? Brazen out. My nan sat there, calm as you like. I thought I was going to explode. You know, like when you hear about someone self-combusting, I honestly thought that was about to happen to me. I felt like I was on fire and my blood was pumping so hard you could see my veins throbbing. For months after it happened, she would light 3 candles for their lost souls. Last time I saw her, she was in a home. That smelt like disinfectant and boiled cabbage. I don't know if she's still there. Today of all days, my birthday. I'd love to talk to her. But I wouldn't want her to see me here. Not like this. Not that she would judge me, just I wouldn't want her to be worrying about me, you know. She would always tell me on my birthday that the heavens cleared and the sun shone the minute I was born. Her gift from God, she called me. I hope she's not alone. She never liked being on her own. She never went back to her own house after that. You see, it doesn't matter what form your home takes. People think living in a tent is dangerous, but
But what good are bricks and mortar when they close in around you? They say home is where the heart is, but what if your heart's broken? When you take your last breath, you want to hope there's someone there beside you.
Are we getting in or what?
Yeah, it will clear the head, I promise. The trick is to get down as fast as possible.
I'm not built for this kind of cold.
I don't give a shit.
All right, ball breaker.
Chi, ni, san. Go! We're off. Myself and this intimate stranger running down the beach. Oh, we hit the pebbles and we're hopping from foot to foot as they dig into our soft soles, looking like two demented dopes trying to dance. Finally, we reach the water. It doesn't feel too bad as it hits my legs, trying to get out far enough. But it's taken forever. It's only up to my knees. Oh, fuck it, that's far enough. I'm getting down. Throw myself under the incoming wave. And the feeling that hits me is what I imagine a heart attack might feel like. Oh, Jesus Christ above, that's cold. I can't feel me bloody arms, and me legs are packed in. I think I'm gonna drown. You're hardly gonna drown, drama queen. The water's only up to your knees. Oh, but I do kind of feel like I've gotten a kick to the back of my head. Right, so do you not think we should get out? Fair enough. Exactly 1 minute later, we are running back the direction we came from towards our towels. Oh, struggling to get our swimsuits off and our numb fingers. Oh, that rush of comfort as I get my hoodie over my head and over my chest. The feeling of imminent hypothermia is fading, and this high is creeping up through me as the warm blood starts to flow. People who pass us say, Jesus, are you mad? I couldn't do that. You're much braver than I am. And I hear myself saying, it wasn't that bad, actually. You just need to get down.
That was brutal.
Cured the head, though.
Too right.
I better head. I need to collect Jack.
Cool. No worries.
So,
same time again next week.
I just laugh. My name is Nisha Murphy, and I'm 30 today.
Hi, how may I help you?
I got a present of this voucher for a perfection projection.
Would that be perfection at this moment in time or at a later stage?
Well, maybe like a 10-year perfection projection.
Okay, let me input those details for you and see what we get back. These are the boxes you should be ticking. You should be finished with random weekday drinks after work. Glass of wine, bottles of wine, Jaeger bombs, coppers, Zaytoons, etc. Finished. You should have a car, golf, Ford Focus, along those lines. A solid wage, which you spend on clothes, holidays, backpacking isn't really still an option at this age. Your smartphone should be latest model. Crack screen is no longer acceptable, nor is occasional drug experimentation. You should already be moving up the ladder at work, started a savings account. In a long-term relationship, skiing holidays with other couples. No impromptu raves and drugs only at the exception of a boutique festival where you will be glamping. With me so far. Get engaged, super stressed at work, engagement parties, wedding planning. Getting on the property ladder is a must at this stage. This can come before or after wedding, your choice. But wedding needs to be a big, beautiful, expensive blur. Honeymoon to recover from stress of wedding, work, 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 save, save, save. Next, pregnant, career break, lose your figure, work hard to get it back. Play dates, want to murder your husband in his sleep. From here, you've two choices. You can A, have a second child, get a bigger car and home, and if returning to work, be made partner. Or B, get divorced, leave your job, explore your sexuality, and realise you're bisexual / lesbian. I'll leave that up to you. Now, all you need to do is sign here, here, and here.
You've been listening to Kicking All the Boxes, written and performed by Liz Fitzgibbon. Sound supervision was by Kieran Cullen. Kicking All the Boxes by Liz Fitzgibbon was directed by Goretti Slaven. The series producer of Drama on One is Kevin Reynolds. You can listen back to this and the entire drama archive at rte.ie/drama on one.
rte.ie/drama on one.
Next in the wings. In this episode, actors Nick Dunning, Chris McCallum and Michael James Ford discuss working together on Preferred Medium by Bob Gallagher, which is next week's Drama on One.
My name is Chris McCallum and I play the part of Stephen Berry. The play is called Preferred Medium. It's about a man who appears to be obsessed by a Stanley Spencer painting called The Resurrection. It's on display. It's been borrowed from the Tate and is on display in a gallery. And this man turns up and stands in front of it staring uninterrupted every single day that the exhibition is open for about a week. And inevitably, this attracts the attention of the people who run the gallery and the security people and everything, because they're not sure what his motivation is.
My name is Michael James Ford. And in this play, Preferred Medium, I play the part of David Knott, who is the much put-upon assistant director of the gallery, plagued by this mysterious character who plants himself in front of Stanley Spencer's The Resurrection, and nobody knows why. And the fear is, of course, that he's a nutter who's about to sabotage the painting or rip it to shreds. And this is the central mystery of the play, which is intriguingly resolved.
My name is Nick Dunning, and I play Robert Tromans, who is an MP who is having an affair with Celia. And his connection with her really starts up because he was able to use his contacts as an MP to get hold of this extraordinary painting by Stanley Spencer called The Resurrection, and gets it for her to so that she can bring it into her gallery. But I think there might be ulterior motives in there somewhere, is all I can say.
I trained at Central School of Speech and Drama, which is in North London. I was living at the time with somebody who'd gone there, and I wasn't really doing anything with my life. And she said, if you want to waste your time... she said, you should try this, you know, and I went along and I saw some shows and I thought, oh, I could do that. And here I am, obviously proving that I can't.
I did English and drama degree at Exeter University in Devon. And it was quite an alternative course influenced by the Polish visionary Jerzy Grotowski and the work of Peter Brook, the author of The Empty Space. It was all about creating theatre from images in a very simple, very physical way. So for the first year, we didn't go anywhere near text. We just explored, and we explored our own bodies and our own capabilities to create physically. And we looked at the worlds of primitive theatre and mime and mask work and all sorts of things. But we were desperate to get near text after a year of that.
Well, I was in London during the 80s and 90s. So then there were certain shows that, you know, you almost, with your equity membership, you had to appear in EastEnders, The Bill, Bergerac, Casualty, all those, loads of programs that they don't make anymore. And I did my time in each of them. And then when I'd run out, I came here.
Then I got, on the English side, I got very interested in Irish writers, particularly Yeats and Synge and Beckett. And liked the idea of doing a postgrad literature course in Trinity, which is what I did, arriving in 1980 at a very extremely lively time in Trinity, which was where a lot of the people who went on to form Rough Magic were all together in players, the likes of Lynn Parker and Pauline McLynn, Stanley Townsend, Declan Hughes, Dara Kelly. There was just a big bunch of people together, very creative time.
I trained in London at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art many, many years ago when the world was black and white. And I came over here probably in about 20 years ago now, and have had a wonderful time and absolutely love living here.
I moved over here in 1996. I met this girl called Fiona, and she lived here and I lived in London, and it became inconvenient for our relationship. So I decided to move over, much to her surprise. The last thing I did in England was a production of King Lear in The Crucible in Sheffield. I left my flat and I went up there, did the play, and then I moved over here.
I came over because I, as I actually had the opportunity to say to, name drop here, to President Higgins, I actually had to say to him once, I was asked to give a little speech for after we did a show, and I said, well, I'm very glad to be over here now in Ireland because I stole one of your women and brought her over. Yeah, so that's what I said. Yeah, so I came over here for, like Chris was saying, for the love of a woman. And there's been no looking back.
I know the painting, the Stanley Spencer painting, because I used to work in the Tate Gallery in London. And I was a security, I was probably the most ineffectual security guard in the history of contemporary British art. And I, you used to have a week in each gallery. You'd be going around in kind of clockwise order. So you'd have a week with Stanley Spencer, and then a week with Mark Rothko, which was always rather challenging, and a week with the Turners, and so on. In fact, when I was in the Tate, Francis Bacon used to come in quite regularly and look at his stuff. Wouldn't recognise most of the others, so I don't know if perhaps they all came in under cover of darkness, but he was quite a regular attendee. I worked at the Tate for about 6 months, and then I dyed my hair and they sacked me. As I departed, their excuse was, the colour here is meant to be on the walls and not on the warders.
Out of that, I just got started, initially working in places like The Project, then going on the road with a very much a rough theatre operation, a company called Trapdoor, and then started to get work with The Abbey and The Gate and The Gaiety, and have hung in there ever since.
I turned up with a CV and kept badgering the Abbey until eventually they couldn't think up any more reasons not to employ me. The first play I did in the Abbey was a play by Chris Lee called The Electrocution of Children, which starred, among other people, Andrew Bennett, who'd be a very familiar voice, and Pat Laffin. And Olwyn Fure was in that as well.
And I continue a lot of coaching that I do, a lot of coaching work with actors that I work with all the time, online and offline, and all sorts of places like that.
Oh, yeah, I'm in a film called Citizen Lane, which is about Hugh Lane, the man who started the Hugh Lane Gallery. And I'm in Rebellion, the second part of Rebellion, which I think is called Resistance. That's, I think, a five-part series. And I have a show that I did last year called Strutting and Fretting. It's a one-man show about an actor playing Macbeth.
So here he was, this incredibly successful art dealer. He had an amazing eye. One of the stories that comes out in the film is the way at auctions people would look at Hugh Lane to see what paintings he was looking at, because he just had this instinct. So he amassed this amazing collection and then wanted it to be enjoyed by the nation at a time when Dublin was going through its great cultural moment in the early 20th century, and he fell in inevitably with Lady Gregory and W.B. Yeats, and William Orpen features the painter. So it then tells the story of how he tries to get a gallery built that was going to be over the Liffey, a remarkable building designed by Lutyens. But he then ran into serious opposition. And the question was, you know, he was representative of the Anglo-Irish, of the very people whose power in the country was being questioned. So there are all sorts of political complications. Ultimately, he didn't get the go-ahead to house his collection as he wanted. And in a huff, he left. In his will, he decided he's going to take the paintings away to someone who wants them. In his will, he left them to the National Gallery in London, changed his mind, wrote a codicil to the will. It was never witnessed. And so when he died, tragically, in the Lusitania, when it was torpedoed off Kinsale, that's how the will read, that the paintings were to go to the National Gallery in London. And then gradually, the battle for the ownership of the paintings progressed. Charlemont House, isn't it, in Parnell Square, became available, the perfect place for them, but there's still a number of paintings in London that they aren't going to let go in a hurry, as someone said, very much like the Elgin Marbles.
I thought it would be good to have a show that I could do without depending too much on other people. So I did manage to drag a few other people into it. My wife designed it, and Michael James Ford, who is in this play, he directed it. But apart from that, it's just me, so I could, in theory, do it, you know, at the turn of the road.
What I do with actors is I actually run a website where I coach actors to essentially get out of their own way, because that seems to me to be the biggest thing that happens with actors these days, is that they begin to believe certain things that they tell themselves inside their mind. They tell themselves stories that they've learned, like, you know, I cannot do this, it is impossible, there are reasons that I am stuck, I have my confidence issues, or, you know, I may have issues with confidence, I might be feeling in sort of stress situations, or maybe just blocked and stuck in some way. And my work is entirely to convince, not even to convince, it's to suggest, it's kind of like tapping them on the shoulder and waking them up to the possibility that actually everything is possible. And I firmly believe that anything is possible these days. I don't think there's a single thing that cannot be done in terms of changing our lives to more fruitful ways of looking at and engaging with the world. And the blocks that people have are as many as there are individuals, you know. And I get hundreds of different kind of people now. I've coached more than 2,000 actors now over all the years. And every single thing is different. Every person is unique. So there's no one-size-fits-all cookie-cutter thing here at all. People come with individual issues and dilemmas. And essentially what I do is I try and help them with support to get through those barriers that are also pretty predominantly self-imposed. But we may not always be aware of that, that our own thinking is causing the problems in the first place. As Hamlet says, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so.
And in that edition of In the Wings, you heard actors Nick Dunning, Chris McCallum and Michael James Ford. They all star in Preferred Medium by Bob Gallagher, which is next week's Drama on One. The producer of In the Wings is Kevin Reynolds. You'll find the entire In the Wings archive at rte.ie/drama on one.
rte.ie/drama on one.